You're listening to Kathy Is In with Kathy DeBono.
Welcome back, everybody, to Kathy Is In. I am Kathy DeBono, your host. Why am I your host? Because I'm a psychotherapist, and that makes me smarter than you. Just kidding. Nobody got any. They both looked at me like, you're evil.
Not evil.
No, I wanted to make that joke because I was at a party the other day with a whole group of people, and every time someone learned I was a psychotherapist, they didn't want to talk to me anymore.
Well, I just have to say that I've been in that situation before, like with Dougal. Our friend Dougal is a psychic, and the first time we met him, I didn't know that. And then later I found out he was a psychic, and then I got all freaked out. Because I was like, what was he thinking?
Well, first, let me tell everybody who's here with me. That is my lovely fiance, Jill Bennett.
Hello.
She is here with me today because she's learning to maybe... Learning. We're going to see.
Maybe.
If she can run the boards here at the studio.
That was seamless. Seamless.
And also with us in the studio today is the lovely Becca Cates, who likes to come and be my little peanut gallery sometimes. Don't roll your eyes at me, Becca. There will be repercussions.
Yeah.
So Becca and Jill are going to come on board and try and help me produce this show. I've been trying to do it myself. And you know what? I just can't do it all, people. I'm sorry. I can't. I need a little help. So today, I really want to talk about something that I have been completely obsessed with. But first, can I just share with you guys, I am becoming more nauseated by the second because my t-shirt smells like cat pee.
Oh, jeez.
It just does. I didn't notice it until it's way too late. You know how cat pee has that subtle creeps up on you, I think I smell something, but I'm not sure kind of smell?
Yeah.
Yeah, well, it's me. It's coming from myself. It's coming from this t-shirt.
We have five cats.
This is most disgusting, because now we have to go figure out how the hell they peed on a t-shirt that was hanging in my closet.
It was probably not hanging when they peed on it.
Thank you, Becca. What happened was, it was laying on the bed, because that's what happens with your clothing.
But if it's hanging up, it has been washed.
Yes, but it could have been laying on the bed for a while, because that's sometimes what happens. So I'm just suggesting...
Okay, smarty butt.
No, I... Okay.
Well, who's coming in and peeing on our bed?
Me.
I don't. It doesn't smell like you, Becca.
Oh, boy.
God, this is gross. You think anybody here would mind if I did this show in my bra? Because I'm going to get sick.
Well, I wouldn't mind.
All right, but... I'll hold off on that. I'll just sit here and smell like cat pee. All right, so anyway, I have been completely obsessed with the Casey Anthony story, like many people out there in the United States and probably around the world. I don't know how... that's something I'm interested in. I don't know how far around the world the whole notorious Casey Anthony story has reached, but I do know that in this country it has reached just about everywhere. For those of you who don't know, crawl out from under your rock and go on Google and look up Casey Anthony, because she's the most notorious woman in this country right now, and I'm fascinated with her story. Like many others, I watched the trial last summer, and there was just something about the whole thing that creeped me out. The least of which she obviously had played a huge role of responsibility in the death of her 2-year-old daughter, and has since been acquitted of all charges. So the country is in sort of an uproar about that. And just last week on Thursday, a video was, quote, I'm doing quotey fingers, leaked. I did the quotey fingers, right, guys?
Yes, she did them.
I did them. A video was leaked that was her, quote, video diary number one. And a whole lot of speculation has been going on about this out there. Like, why would she resurface? Why would she do this? Everybody wants her dead. Everybody wants to kill her. And now she's done this video diary where she's talking about a new computer and having things to call her own and things are looking up and she's got a new dog and she never mentions her child. And all of these things are bringing out the bloodlust in the people in this country. And I just wonder, is there anyone out there that sees this differently? Is there anyone out there that actually can bring the boiling level of their blood down and looks at Casey Anthony and wonders, what the hell happened to this girl? How did she get like this? Becca, stop pulling your eyelashes out. Seriously, pay attention. Chop, chop. So I just want to talk about that. And I had Jill and Becca watch this video this morning because it's all over CNN. It's all over HLN. I'm sure there's a bunch of you guys out there who have watched it because it's like watching a train wreck. You can't turn away. I'm fascinated by the human condition, by human psychology. I'm fascinated by the ways that we break and the ways that we reinvent ourselves to survive. And I think that is clearly what I see in Casey Anthony. The more I watched that trial and the more we met the players in the story and her family, the more it was like a parade of, oh my God, what the hell is going on? I mean, that's all I can say. So I'm wondering what you guys thought of the video when you watched it.
Well, I watched it a couple of times, and I don't know. I mean, I wasn't as obsessed with it as you are in terms of sort of observing her behavior and how she communicates to the world. I think the thing that's most interesting about this video is that throughout the trial, she never went on the stand. So we never heard her speak. We never saw her interact verbally with anybody. And this is the first time we've actually heard her talking.
Right.
At least for me, it's the first time I've heard her talk, other than, you know, the little snippets of her videos in jail when she's talking to her family, you know, through the glass pane with the phone. It's bizarre watching her because she, in this video log, she just seems so disconnected and she talks only about, very superficial surface things like her computer, and she's so excited that she has a new phone and a new computer and a camera, and it's almost surreal because she just lost her child. She's on probation. She's isolated. She's living in Florida somewhere that nobody knows, and she kept saying things are looking up, and you know, she seemed like she was in La La Land.
One of the things that stands out to me is a couple of things that she said in that video and a couple of moves that she made in that video have yet to be discussed or picked apart on CNN and HLN. And they usually discuss and pick apart everything. And one of the things that she said was, well, first, let me back up a second. No one really understands why this video came out or how this video came out. Casey Anthony and her people, Tebow? Jill just wrote me a note that says Tebow. I'm way too ADD for that, honey.
Wow, you know? Honey.
You think Casey Anthony's a Tebow fan? Is that what you're getting at?
Never mind. Just keep talking about Casey Anthony, and okay. I'll explain it
all
later.
Right. Well, nobody really knows why this video surfaced and what her point was, what her game is. Like, what is she doing, and did she do this? Did she do this on purpose? She and her people are claiming that this video was leaked, that her computer was hacked, and it was a video diary that she was making as part of her psychotherapy that she's been doing since the trial has closed. And she says a very interesting sentence in the video, which is, well, here's my first video diary, and I'm really excited about it, and they're probably going to be as tedious as my audio recordings have been. And then she just goes on to talk about other things, and no one on CNN or HLN has picked that apart yet. What audio recordings? What is she talking about? No one has even mentioned that because they just go straight to attacking her. And I'm curious about that. I'm wondering if she had been doing audio recordings as part of her therapy, and now she's just gotten this new equipment, so now she's going to do video.
Or do you think it's part of a larger marketing plan that involves her lawyer? I don't believe for one second that it was stolen and accidentally leaked. I think this is a completely orchestrated effort on the part of her lawyer to test the waters, to see how people are reacting to her. Even if they hate her, will they tune in? Will they buy?
Of course they will.
Well, okay, that's my point. So I don't believe for one second that some crazed computer hacker got into her computer and got a video and uploaded. I don't buy it. I think this is all a part of the business of Casey Anthony and her lawyer, who is a very smart man, who is trying to see how marketable her notoriety is, but it's all wrapped up. Because personally, I was one of those people when it came to Casey Anthony that, you know, living with Kathy, I watched an awful lot of the trial, and after I heard the closing arguments, I I was like, you know what? They didn't prove that she murdered her.
They really didn't.
I'm sorry. I don't care what you think as far as how responsible she is. That's not how it works. You have to prove that someone murdered someone to put
beyond
them in jail.
Beyond a reasonable doubt,
and there
you
was,
must prove. And she was on trial for her life, more so, you know, this wasn't just going to jail for her. This was, we're going to kill you.
Right, which that was the mistake in the prosecution. They should not have... The charges should have been lesser so that they could have convicted her.
I think if they didn't go for the death penalty, they probably would have gotten her life in jail. But those 12 people weren't willing to kill her. Mm-hmm. They probably would have been willing to put her away for life, even if they weren't sure. Because the most of the country, and I think we can all safely say she played some role in what happened to her child. I don't know exactly what that role is. A lot of people think they do. They think they see her out partying. They think they can look at the surface behaviors of what Casey Anthony was doing and just decide, oh, well, she wanted to go party. She wanted to go have a good time, and her daughter was in the way. I just think that is a really simplistic way to look at it, and it kind of angers me how people just want to stay simpletons about this.
Well, it's easier.
It is easier. I think people don't want to believe that there are many different sides to this. They want to see it, okay, she's evil or she's good. They don't want to say, well, she has some evil in her and she has some things in her that are beyond her control, like how she was raised, what her family has taught her, the psychology of her family, which I know, Kathy, you're really interested in. And I want to just go back to something else in the video that we haven't talked about yet is her appearance. I mean, she looks completely different. Mm-hmm. She has new glasses. She has a new haircut, which is really short. She has blonde hair. I mean, so what Jill was saying in terms of this is a marketing campaign, hello, she changed her appearance. Yes. Everything kind of points to let's make this a big to-do. I don't believe it was leaked. I really don't.
I don't believe it was leaked either, just because there are repercussions you can take if a video was leaked. I mean, at this point, the damage is done. Everyone has seen it. But there are repercussions you can take if you own property and you want to have it taken down off the internet.
Well, it's like every celebrity and their sex tape saying that it mm-hmm. was stolen. Give me a break.
I think she's a puppet, and I think everybody's pulling the strings around her. I really do. And I think, you know, she's an adult. She's responsible for a lot of her actions, but I do think that there are people, whether it's her lawyer, whether it's her parents, whether it's whoever, are pulling her strings.
I think Casey became a puppet before she even reached puberty, quite frankly.
That's and now the lawyer has taken over the role.
Exactly.
And here's the other part of it. This woman has to make a living. And I know people say screw her, but I don't. I'm like, okay, whatever happened is now behind her. I'm not forgiving her. I'm in no position. I don't know what happened. But now she has to move on with her life. And she is the most notorious woman in America at this point. She has to find a way to make a living.
Yeah, this girl's 25 years old.
It's not like she can go, you know, work
no
at the
family.
Library.
She's got no friends.
She's no family, no friends. She has to find a way. So I can't be mad at her for, you know, yes, I can. I can. There's a certain amount of judgment in this, but what I'm saying is she's got to survive somehow. She's got to figure out how to move on with this reputation.
There's people out there listening to you right now, you know, just spewing expletives and saying she doesn't have to survive because there's a lot of simplistic thinking out there. And I don't know what, I don't know what Casey Anthony is going to do when she's out there in public and everyone now knows what she looks like and someone is going to kill this girl. Some crazy lunatic is going to kill this girl and they're going to feel like they are the new messiah because for some reason everyone out there has just decided that that's what needs to happen. I wish those same people would take a closer look at the family this girl came from. I don't know which person I'm pointing a finger at. I don't know who is responsible. I don't think this case or Casey Anthony breaks down to one person. And that's what's so fascinating about it. And I think that the 12-person jury that sat there that day could see that this doesn't just boil down to one person, which is that little girl sitting in it. I'm sorry, she looks like a little girl to me, sitting in that chair over there. And I know she's not a little girl. Don't get in an uproar. I know she's a woman. I know she's a full-blown adult. I understand that. But when you look at her sitting in that chair for her life and you watch the parade of people that raised her and that pretty much predicted what her life would look like. And the people that guided her through certain events in her life, you turn back and look at her and you see the little girl that never had a freaking chance.
Okay, but the only thing about that argument to me, which is a slippery slope, is you can say that about anybody. I mean, look at Joe Paterno. Now, this man, but I think by the time this is said and done, it's going to look like the Catholic Church scandal, and there are going to be dozens of little boys that come forward who are now men that will say that he molested them. I guarantee you he was molested as a child.
Yeah, there's a cycle.
This is not something that you just do. You do it because you learned it. So he was victimized at some point in his life. Now, do we give him the same, you know, the same argument? Or is it different because he's a man and Casey's a younger woman and she's attractive? I mean, there's all kinds of... I agree with you.
Yeah, no, you can take...
But it's a slippery slope.
It is a slippery slope. You can take any crime. You can take any violent crime. You can take any crime whatsoever and look at that person and say, well, certainly something in their life broke them. And in order to survive, they recreated these ways of moving around in the world that hurts other people. I mean, we can say that about anybody that creates a crime, and then we wouldn't put anybody in jail. But that's not really what I'm saying. And I'm not even saying that Casey Anthony doesn't deserve to be in jail or that Casey Anthony doesn't deserve to be held accountable for whatever role she played in whatever it was that happened to Kaylee. I do take issue with the black and white thinking that I see out there in regards to Casey Anthony. I take issue with it because it just renders this country even more simpleton-like than I think we are. I mean, we're such a materialistic marketing company. I mean, it's like, USA, USA. And nobody really thinks about what's going on under the surface. And there's a lot to be learned about what happened here. Or we can just pretend cycles don't happen. We can just hate Joe Paterno. We can just hate Casey Anthony. We can just set people on fire or, you know, and let these cycles continue. But the people that created Casey Anthony are still out there. Do you know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
And my argument isn't she's innocent, we should let her go. My argument is if you're going to bother commenting on YouTube or on any of these social networking sites, if you're going to bother to conjure up a thought because you think it's worth being heard by people out there, put a little intelligent thought into it.
Oh, come on now. That's not how the internet works.
it's so irritating how many simpletons out there think they know what's going on. It's just so irritating to me. I mean, be mad, be angry. You're just really displaying how dumb you are. I'm insulted by it. I'm just insulted by it. If you guys have any thoughts about Casey Anthony or what we're saying, we want to hear from you. It's 818-602-4929. Please do call in. We know you watched the video. We know you did. Don't act like you didn't. I love all the comments out there that are like, nobody wants to hear from you. You're disgusting. We don't care what if you adopted a dog. We don't. Well, you watched the video enough to know exactly what she said.
Yeah.
So you do care.
Well.
And this is what I'm talking about dumb. That I mean, if you're angry and you have something based in anger to say, fine, I think you should say it. But don't get on there preaching about how nobody's interested while you've clearly watched the video 6 or 7 times.
Well, that's like every article on the internet when you know, it can be an article about, you know, shaved ice. And someone below comments, who cares about shaved ice? I can't believe that you think that pineapples is great. And I'm like, you read the article and you're taking a moment now to write about it. So clearly something in this article was interesting to you, or else you would not have taken the time to not only read the article, but sign in and leave a comment. That's the
exactly.
Internet, though.
With you know, indignant passion behind it. I mean, it's like, you do care.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what I'm talking about, simple. I don't think that having an opinion
of
anger with Casey Anthony is a bad thing. I think it's having it with just dumbness.
Hello?
Hello.
Hello. Who is this?
Are we on? This is Pam.
Hello.
Hey. I was calling about the Casey Anthony.
Yeah.
That we're talking about?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I live in Florida, so of course had to hear and, you know, the whole entire thing. And when the jurors were finished, people wanted to hurt the jurors because of their verdict, you know, which was really ridiculous. But, you know, I obviously don't know either way whether she's guilty, but I would think that as her first video broadcast, maybe she should have thrown a little something towards her daughter. you know, just a little high, miss you.
Yeah, love that's.
You.
But I think that would have negated the. I don't know if it's a plan or if it's the truth, but it would have negated the whole story that this was a leak of a therapeutic video diary. I mean, if you look at what, if we want to take on the idea for a second, let's assume it was the first video diary she was making, that it was going to be something that she and her therapist were going to use to help her learn about herself and to help her grow. I could easily see what they were talking about. If I want to try on that hat, if I want to try on that perspective, she's talking about, okay, I have things that are mine, and it's I can see, if I look at it as a therapist, what their previous sessions may have been about for her, and they can make sense. And the whole alluding to audio recordings being tedious, that she had been doing that for therapy, I could see that being the case.
She has to know the world. This is her first link to the world.
I don't, but
and
that's
my first view of, after being sitting, you know, they had that camera trained on her the entire time through that trial.
Yes.
So this is her first peek at the world.
Right.
Here's me after that.
Right. Well, they're playing it. They're playing it, Pam. Whether it's true or not, we can't know. But they're playing it as this was never intended for public viewing. So, you know, I agree with
you.
Oh,
really? I didn't catch that.
Yes, yes. So if she was making this video not intended for public use, it's going to look different than if she's making a video that she knows the whole world is going to see.
Yeah, but, I mean, if this is therapy, a therapy session or whatever, you know, not even if it's not for public use, wouldn't she be talking about her daughter in therapy? I mean, isn't that kind
right.
I mean, I don't know. I mean...
Thank you for the call, Pam.
That, I mean, just, you know, in terms of what Pam is saying, I sort of understand.
Well, let me just be devil's advocate on that for a minute. And I can see absolutely that, you know, a lot of people would be wrapped up in trying to get over the death of their daughter first. But let's look at it piece by piece. If Casey Anthony is dealing with a severe personality disorder, which I can say she pretty much is dealing with a severe personality disorder, that's not approachable as it would be for people with an intact, insane, logical, I mean, sane, intact, logical mind. The rest of us are saying, you know, she should be looking like this, and wouldn't she be talking about that? And if she cared, wouldn't it look like this? And if this, then that. But those things, that logical math doesn't apply to a personality disorder.
Right. I mean, I think the thing that's hard about this is that, and the reason why people get so angry is because it's just, it takes so much energy to try to understand what this woman is about, what's going on in her head. And that's why people just get angry and just spew fire at her, you know?
Yes, or like, you know, Kathy and I are very different in that I am definitely black and white in many ways in my thinking, and Kathy's very gray. Now, the way I feel about it is she was acquitted, period, end of story. Whether or not she is guilty, it does not matter anymore. She went through a trial, and they did not convict her. You leave her alone now. Leave her alone. And she has the right to try to make a living. Do I think that she had something to do with it? Yes. But she was acquitted. It's black and white.
Mm-hmm. And that's you're absolutely right when you're talking about what's on paper. But we have to talk about what people are carrying
in their hearts and minds.
See, but
that's the difference. But I'm saying that's the difference between you and a lot of people. And I probably fit into the a lot of people category where, for me, it's a black and white issue, but it goes... To me, it goes to the part where she's been acquitted, and we need to leave her alone, and we need to understand that she's now trying to put her life back together and make a living as a human being. And for that, I actually have compassion for her, because what the hell do you do when when you're her? How are you going to support yourself?
Well,
people want her notoriety.
Exactly.
People want her to get a job as a fry cook and to be miserable for the rest of her life.
Well,
they don't believe that she should ever feel an ounce of happiness or comfort.
Well, this is America, folks.
She should be miserable for the rest of her life.
This is America, and she has the opportunity, because she's been acquitted, to profit off of what she went through. Now, whether that's right or that's a whole other story, but she has the right to do that.
I mean, it's like O.J. Simpson. I mean, it's just like all over again, you know? I mean...
Yes, but he was found guilty in a civil trial, so... Well, technically, he can't profit off of it. That's
right.
Why,
but didn't he write a book about it?
Yeah, and the estate of Nicole Brown Simpson took the money that he made off of it.
This is going to be Casey's problem for the rest of her life. The second she makes a dime, she's going to get sued left and right, left and right, left and right. Zenaida Gonzalez, please. Zenaida, can I talk to you for a second?
Oh, boy.
Can I just talk to Zenaida Fernandez Gonzalez for one freaking second? Go away, okay? Nobody slandered you. Casey made up some name, or she saw your name on some list somewhere in some apartment building. I think I heard that story. And she took a picture of it in her head, and she used it as some random character in her story. She described you, Zenaida Fernandez Gonzalez, as a beautiful 25-year-old girl with a gorgeous smile and big, beautiful brown eyes and curly brown hair. And we've seen you, Zenaida. You're not that person. You have the same name, but you're not that person. She's clearly not talking about you. So take your 15 minutes of fame and go back and get out of the media.
But
nobody
has,
cares.
But this is America, and she has every right.
I want to slap that woman. And again, please recognize where my anger comes from. It's not because I'm like a Casey Anthony fan. I'm a psychology fan, and this is fascinating. I don't know enough about Casey Anthony to have an opinion. I'll tell you, I have a whole bunch of feelings. Sometimes, you know, I see her played out in this video, and I see the icky parts of her personality that can turn me off. And sometimes I look at her, and mostly what I feel is, oh, my God, what did she go through? For this to happen, for this to come to this, how does this happen? And that's mostly what just runs through me. How does this happen? But Zenaida Fernandez Gonzalez, you piss me off. You're just an opportunist ambulance chaser, and you need to knock it off. I was slandered. No, you weren't. She doesn't even know you. There's probably a million Zenaida Gonzalez's in the world.
They'll have class action lawsuit.
Come on. Come on. 818-602-4929. Come on, folks. Give us a call. Don't be scared. I won't yell at you. Well,
maybe.
I might.
Maybe.
I might yell at you. I got to tell you guys, the smell of the cat pee is really making me sick.
All right. Well, I don't know what to tell you. I can give you my sweatshirt.
No, keep it on.
All right.
No.
Okay.
No, don't do it.
If I have a question for you.
Yeah.
If Casey Anthony were to call into your radio show right now, what would you say to her?
Hey.
What would I say to her?
Yeah.
Well, I think first we'd all be wrapped up and going, stop making prank phone calls. This isn't Casey Anthony. So once we got all past that and we realized it was, I have a kabillion questions. But
okay,
see,
now someone's going to call in and pretend to be Casey Anthony.
Yeah.
But what would you ask?
Well, here's the thing about it.
Well, here's a phone call. Shall I take it?
Hold on. Yeah, take it, but I want to answer her question. You can answer it and just hold for a second. What would I ask Casey Anthony? I wouldn't ask Casey Anthony any direct question. You're not going to get an answer. She's going to lie. She's an actress. She's a hologram. She changes shape. She's a shapeshifter. I want to observe Casey Anthony. I don't necessarily want to ask her a question. She'll just tell me anything. It's not, you know, I'm not really interested in that. But if I had a chance to work with Casey Anthony as a client, well, the questions wouldn't be like, did you kill your daughter? They would be far more broken down, and I would look for far more subtleties in what was going on in our exchanges. Hello, you're on the air.
Hi there. I just wanted to say I'm a realist. I'm like Jill. I totally agree with how she feels about this situation because, you know, she was given her day in court and everything. And, you know, the bottom line was that, you know, 12 people saw that, you know, they really couldn't convict her on what they had. So, you know, she's out there in the world now. But I didn't watch the video, but I saw that, you know, she had made a video, and my first reaction was like, oh, Jesus, you know, this is disgusting. What do we care? I mean, I'm done with her, you know. Of course, I watched that trial and everything, but, you know, now it's like she's had her day, and you know, she's out there. I don't want to know anything about her.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
I don't even want to know. But, you know, like Jill, I think that, you know, yeah, she does. She's out there. She has to do something. And, you know, the irony is that I think she's going to have more opportunity than, you know, the regular Joe on the street to make some money.
I think you're right. That is the irony. That is. And I could see what you're saying about how a lot of people would lose interest unless you are a sensationalist and you just chase the headline stories, or you're interested in psychology. Because
so,
if you're interested in psychology, there's really nothing more fascinating going on right now.
So, caller, we don't know your name, but so you're saying that if Casey Anthony, like, wrote a book, you know, like, actually she wrote the book, or, you know, with the help of somebody, you would not be interested in reading it?
No, I wouldn't.
Okay, but not, is it because you're not interested or it's because you don't want to give her money?
I think it's more that I don't want to participate in helping her to earn a living, you know?
Okay,
fair enough. That might be kind of like, you know, crappy, but I feel like she's guilty. Like, she did have a part in the death of her child, and I don't want to do anything to help a murderer out. Yeah.
Oh, I mean, I think there's no question she's involved. Right. I think
thank you for the call.
Thank you for the call. I think there's no question she was involved, clearly. But to what level? I mean, I have some theories, and I'm thinking about blogging my Casey Anthony theories of what could have happened.
I think you need to get it out of your system, honey. Yeah, I really do.
I do, too. Please blog it.
Oh, come on. Don't you think I have, you know, valid interests here?
You absolutely do. Okay. You know, we just are privy to all of the process. The process.
The Casey Anthony.
Becca said, we just miss you.
Yes, we did.
We do.
We had an intervention.
We already had one intervention.
We had an intervention.
And now with this video surfacing, it's like, it's a relapse. Wow.
Becca and I looked at each other.
It's a relapse.
It is. We looked at each other and we went, oh, no.
No, seriously. Like,
listen, there's answers to be found. I hope she writes a book because I want to see what she comes up with.
I know.
I really do. And listen, I wish that caller was still on the phone because I wanted to ask her, all right, you don't want to help her make a living. That's valid. I understand it. You don't want to give her money. Would you read it if someone gave it to you?
See,
if it was already a paid-for book? And
it's like buying a ticket to another movie and walking in a different, you know?
See, here, for me, I just... Maybe this is selfish, but I have so many things going on in my life, like in my everyday life. I don't have time to think about Casey Anthony. I just don't care. So would I read the book? No, I wouldn't.
That's totally valid.
Not because I don't want to support her, although I don't really, like, that doesn't even cross my mind. It's more that, okay, I have a million things that I'm doing in my life right now and you know, balancing my own life. Like, I don't need to focus on this
woman.
Well,
then it's just not your interest.
Right, exactly. Right. I mean, but I think people...
When people sit down to pick up a book, it's going to be what you know, draws their attention. 818-602-4929. Casey, if you're out there, give us a call. Have your say.
Yeah, but you wouldn't... You would just want to observe her, so it would be hard to observe her over the phone. It would just be silence.
Not if she were talking, Becca.
Well, that's
true. People don't normally get on the phone and
Well, I know,
silent.
But you would have to prompt her with something, wouldn't you? Or she... Probably not. She would probably just... I don't know.
818-602-4929. Does anyone know anyone sort of like this? Like, that's kind of like a hologram, you know?
I think you're going to have to elaborate on the... I get the hologram metaphor, but... You're going to have to elaborate.
You know what a hologram is? We've seen them, right? They come in stickers or on the covers of notebooks or whatever. It's like, it's a two-dimensional image appearing three-dimensional. And when you look at it from different angles, it changes positions or it changes shapes or it changes colors. Or, you know, if it's of a person, maybe their eyes move or their heads move. It's like, you can't really get a solid image of that thing. It just sort of keeps changing shape. That's how I see her mom and her father and her brother. They bring up creepy feelings in me. They bring up more creepy feelings in me than Casey does herself, and I don't know why. I don't quite understand that. Probably because I haven't really had the chance to see her speak. Her video was a little bit creepy.
It was very creepy. And
it was manipulative. Whoever she knew was going to see this video, she was sexualizing it. You know, there was a lot of manipulation going on. We could talk about it for days.
What about that other little snippet?
Where she got her nose ring and an earring piercing and that, I don't know. You know, it's just more of the same.
No, I know, but it goes into that. She's so self-involved in her...
But there again, if a therapist told her what the point of these videos were was to talk about herself, then she's right on target.
Right, but we'll never know. That's why...
Well, I think we may know someday.
Okay.
818-602-4929. Did anyone watch football this weekend?
Yes.
A little sidebar? Yes.
Yes.
Jill, did you want to say something about that?
Well, yes, because we've almost reached the end of football season. It's a double-edged sword because it was an awful, awful year for my Colts. But I hate when football ends because then that means there's no football to watch.
Is that what you wanted to say?
No, that's not what I was saying.
Is that why you wrote me a note that said football?
No. Because I wanted to talk about another polarizing figure, which is Tim Tebow.
Yes.
And it's interesting because yesterday as I'm going about my day and going, everyone was talking about Tebow in the gym. People were talking about Tebow this morning and people were talking. And like, what, you know, can you like him as a football player, but really, really hate his politics? Like, he's, for those of you who don't know, he's a rookie quarterback. He plays for the Broncos. They, in a miracle of miracles, beat the Steelers yesterday. So it was like the...
Well, you just did it yourself, and you called it a miracle.
Well, I was being sarcastic. Oh. There's sarcasm in there, but he's been doing that all season.
Tim Tebow is a fundamentalist Christian.
Yes.
And he was playing against the Steelers quarterback, who was a fundamentalist rapist.
Yes. Oh, so
basically, when it came down to it, I had to pick Tebow in this.
Yes, I mean, these are two teams I don't like, but I had to root for Tim because I don't like Ben Roethlisberger. So anyway, he's a very polarizing figure, this Tim Tebow, but you have to kind of respect his spirit of sorts. Like,
you do. I have no problems with Tim Tebow. I really don't. I think we have a problem with a lot of the, you know, politics and beliefs of fundamentalist Christianity because it's exclusive and it's oppressive and, you know, they're speaking the word of God, but only to the people they like. So it's
well,
just kind
yeah, and
of...
his family, I mean, people were like, well, just because he's a Christian, I'm like, no, it's because his family actively raises money for Focus on the Family and organizations that try to go out of their way to make our lives
difficult. Right.
But to me, it's sort of like that duality of like, okay, I don't really like him, but I'm rooting for him to do what he does well, you know, not to try to parallel this with Casey Anthony because it's not the same thing, but it's sort of the same thing in that.
You're talking about, honey, I'm so proud of you. You're having a gray area with a person.
Yeah.
You're able to cheer him on in his athletics and disagree with his politics and religious beliefs.
Yeah, I know. But then there's a part of me that's like, I don't want to support this guy at all because I don't want to, you know, I don't want to put energy in the direction of what he does when he's not on the football field, which is like actively try to outlaw us getting married.
Right. Well, I have to say that probably would have been enough to, you know, I'm human to tip me in the scale of going the other direction had he been playing any other quarterback.
Right.
But Ben Roethlisberger can.
Yeah.
Suck on my shoe.
Becca, what is with the shock in your face right now?
What's going on?
What's going on over there?
Nothing.
You're having some reaction to us talking about Roethlisberger.
I just think he's just a disgusting human being. That's all.
Oh, okay. That's it.
818-602-4929. If anyone has any comments about what we're talking about, please give us a call. 818-602-4929. You guys, I think I need to go to CVS today. I think I need to get...
I love
new glasses.
CVS.
Oh, my lady and her eyeballs.
You know, I'm not someone who's ever worn glasses my whole life. I've had perfect vision. I've not needed glasses ever. And then something happened probably about 2 weeks before I turned 40, literally, right on target, where I just kind of had to
wait
move.
Wait a minute, you're 40?
Yeah. And I had to move things away just a little bit further to see them. So I went and I got those, you know, the simple glasses from just over the counter. I don't need prescription or anything, but
the
last
little
night.
Tiny glasses.
Over the counter glasses.
Over the counter glasses. You know, the legal kind. I didn't buy them on the streets. They're not overpowered.
Black market glasses.
And I think it's time to go get the next level up.
Here's the thing about glasses. When you start using something to correct your vision, glasses, contacts, whatever, your eyesight gets progressively worse.
Okay.
And I know you don't think that.
No, I did think that. And then I went to an eye doctor and I really, really, when this vision thing started to happen, I told him I didn't want to start using the magnifiers until I really, really had to because I didn't want to speed up the degeneration. And he said that's a fallacy. He said it's not true.
Was he like out of the back of a truck?
Yeah, I think
this
you
doctor?
Need it. I think
but he had nothing to gain. You know, he wasn't going to sell me any glasses. He had nothing to gain. So what? Does anyone know the answer to this? Someone call me and tell me, please.
I'm not an eye doctor, but
you're not.
Well, no. But anybody who has worn glasses or contacts, I have, and Jill has. Our eyes have gotten progressively worse the second.
Question.
What?
Weren't they going to get worse anyway?
What?
You guys are like, I'm sorry, you're both blind. I've put your glasses on. Weren't you just going to get that way anyway?
Maybe not as quickly.
I think it's because our muscles stop working. It was like if you start using crutches, your leg muscles are going to go soft.
Okay, well, let's try this.
Or like...
I've only been using these glasses part of the time. I use them when my eyes start to get tired and, you know, I'm reading in bed at night. Okay, let me put these on and then it's easier. So I haven't been relying on them all day, every day since I got them, and yet I'm still ready to move up to the next level.
But you're still aiding that muscle. So it doesn't matter if it's all day or just some of the day. You're still having corrective, you still have glasses that are helping you. See, when I switched from glasses to contacts, I was just wearing glasses part of the time, and then you know, and my eyes were getting worse, but then I wore contacts and I would take my contacts out and my eyes got even worse faster because I was constantly...
Can you see me right now? How many fingers am I holding up?
I can't see anything.
Oh, okay. 818-602-4929. Look, the phone lines are open for anything you want to talk about, but I have a question and I want... This is totally off topic. Can we move to a new topic? Are we ready to move to a new topic?
Honey, this is your show. You can do whatever you want.
Listen, here's something. I want everyone to think about this. And this is a social behavior question. All right? I have feelings about this. I want to see what everyone feels about this. We had a big dinner at our house the other night, and we had about 12 people over for dinner. And
Shabbat dinner.
And all of our closest friends, wonderful people. And one of my friends was, we were talking about our New Year's resolutions, we were sharing our feelings, and one of our friends was talking about an issue that she's had for a long time, which is, you know, being on time to things. And it's been sort of like something she's not been able to get over. So this year is the year that she's going to try and figure out what this is, and she's going to be on time for places. And she started to talk about her theory, why she thought maybe this was going on for her, and it had something to do with her sleep schedule and blah, blah, blah. And one of our other friends dove in and made a catty remark, like, oh, just shut up and be on time. Okay, so I know what was going on there. That friend was just trying to be funny in the moment. It was a social moment. It was time for a punch. Like, you know, he saw the opening for a punchline or a way to make everybody in the room laugh. And it really didn't land on anyone other than the first friend who was talking about her issue. She called me later to say that she felt hurt and she felt stepped on and she felt like what she was talking about wasn't important and she was resenting what he had done and she didn't quite know how to talk to him about it because she knew he didn't mean to hurt her feelings. He didn't mean to step on her. She knows that that's just his way, how he tries to instill his humor. What do you guys think about that? What do you guys think about this? Obviously I told her she should talk to him and tell him how she feels and they'll get over it. But what do you think about catty humor at the expense of someone in the room?
But see, now I have a totally different take on the situation. What you left out of this is that this is someone who's known her for a very long time and who has numerous times been held up by her consistent lateness. So for me, you say it was an attempt at catty humor, and I say, as a person who is annoyingly on time all the time, as I am, I find it to be an incredibly rude thing to do to be late all the time. So his comment, I thought, was rude, and it wasn't necessarily necessary, but it was also somebody who's been frustrated by this issue.
I disagree. I, by nature, am an extremely sensitive person. I think there's a time and a place to talk to people about how they are, you know, about their problems, how they interact with other people, if they're late, if they're early, whatever. And if he was having a problem with her being late, he should have done it in private. I just, in a setting where there's a lot of people, you know, some people know each other better than others, it's embarrassing, it's humiliating. And I know I'm super sensitive about things. And if I'm called out on something that I am not comfortable being called out of in front of a lot of people, I will get resentful and I will get really hurt. And so that's, I believe that, you know, you can say whatever or not whatever you want to a friend, but, you know, within reason, you can say it to them, but in private, in the right time. There's a time and a place. And this wasn't the time and the place.
Yeah, I fall more on Becca's side, but slightly in the middle. And here's why. I agree completely with what you said, Becca. There was a mixture of friends in that room. Some were new friends, some were old friends. That's not the time for catty, sarcastic humor. When someone is talking about an issue that they've had and they're trying to express their desire to change it, they're trying to express the thoughts they've been having about it and the process they're going through with it, and they're trying to sort of come clean about it. They know that everybody in the room knows this about them. And then to have one of your friends in front of other people that you don't quite know as well just yet sort of just go for the joke at your expense, I find that shallow. I find that selfish. And I don't think it's funny.
Yeah.
I think it could have been funny if it were maybe those two people and one other person and they'd all known each other for 10 years and you had that kind of relationship where you can be catty and sarcastic with one another but still understand what's going on. Once you do it in front of other people, you're just being selfish. You're going for a punchline and you're doing it at someone else's expense. And I don't care how frustrated they were with her being late. That's not the time or place, and that's not how you do it. It's not like she deserves to be shamed in front of a room full of people just because she has an issue.
Right. I mean, I just feel like you can say, if you have an issue, say it. I'm not saying you can't say that to somebody. You can't say, you know, that you have a problem with what they're doing, but just don't do it in front of a ton of people. That's all, you know?
I just think people need to have more forethought about what they're doing in front of other people.
Yeah, think before you speak. I mean, that's, you know.
Well, I'm not saying it was okay to do it. What I'm saying is if somebody's particular behavior over the years has really built up a frustration in you and they bring it up and they open it up, I'm not saying it was okay. But at the same time, I was kind of like, yeah, I agree with you, John.
That was great, Jill. Jackass. 818-602-4929. We have a caller.
Oh, we have a caller.
What about?
Hello?
Hello, you're on the air.
Uh-oh, you got to turn your volume down.
Sorry, we have to let you go because we can't take your call. If you guys are listening with the radio or the internet on in the background, we're going to have to just disconnect your call. It creates far too much feedback on this end because there's a little bit of a delay. So give us a call back. Make sure you have headphones plugged into your computer or make sure you turn the sound. I would say turn the sound all the way off. You're going to get really confused because you're going to hear us on your phone about 5 seconds before you're going to hear us on the computer.
I think they're back.
Okay.
And we'll see.
Hello. Hello. You're on the air.
Hi, this is Megan.
Hello. Hey, Megan.
Are we still talking about being bluntly honest?
Yeah.
Yes.
Well, I have a tendency to be a very blunt person. And at the same time, I recognize that it hurts people's feelings.
Yeah. Well, this was more of a catty comment. You know, he took the opportunity to be funny. And I know this person well. I love him. He's a wonderful human being. And had he realized he'd hurt her feelings, he would be horrified. It certainly wasn't intentional. But it's just about that forethought of knowing someone is talking about a sensitive issue of their own. Maybe it's not the time to make a sarcastic joke about it in front of 12 people that they don't know very well.
I'm with you, though. I have the same problem.
Well, it's hard. I mean, because it's a natural thing. It's just kind of like it just blurts out of me, and I'm trying to fix the problem. And another thing is I have a very sarcastic sense of humor, and I don't always recognize that it's not the time or place to make a joke.
Yeah, so I get that. We get that. Well, thank you for the call.
Thank you for the call, caller. And that's a really good thing to keep our eye on, because everyone loves humor and everyone loves sarcasm, but let's not hurt our friends with it.
No. Yes. And before we go, an exciting thing that's happening is the Shorty Awards. So
the Shorty Awards.
So Kathy has been nominated in the radio category on Twitter. So if you guys love the show, which I'm sure you do, go on to Twitter, log on, and vote for Kathy in the radio category.
That was very cool of you to mention, Becca. Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Hey, and those of you listening on WBLQ 1230 AM in Rhode Island, tweet me and let me know. I'm really curious how to track you guys. Let me know. Get on Facebook. Get on Kathy Is In on Facebook and like the page, and let me know where you're listening from. I would love to figure that stuff out. And next week we have Sheena Metal on the show.
That was wonderful.
Bravo.
I loved that.
That was great. That was pretty
and
good.
And Jill just cut me off. Bad. Bye, guys. We'll see you next time.
It could have been a lot better.
I didn't really like it.
It was pretty terrible.
It was bad.
It was awful.
I was terrible.
Get him away.
Hey, boo.
And now, the Kathy Is In 5-Minute Feature.
Comedian Aaron Foley.
I always have, like, really awkward moments at the gym. I went to use the bike at the gym, and, of course, there's a stunning fempot on the bike next to me. And I go to use a bike, and I try to put my feet in the little buckles, and I have size 11 wide. I don't want to brag. But I couldn't get my feet in the straps, so I had to undo the buckles and the straps, which is hot. It's hot. And then I had to get back on the bike, and then I look over, and she's in this, like, you know, stunning little track suit with her little iPod Nano, and I dropped down the largest CD Walkman ever built. Was erected in some 86 or something like that. I basically brought a Victrola to the gym. I was like, do you guys have some extension cords or a three-prong adapter? A little piece we can put the 45s on? No? And of course I look over and she's doing a little shuffle feature. I'm like, oh, that's a fun feature. Yeah, I like to take the needle and just jump ahead three songs. Although when you're knee-deep in a bookstore and you start really looking around at all the titles, there's, like, a lot of depressing books out there, people. Like, books on wars and plagues and poverty. Then I discovered the most depressing book of all time. It's actually in the cooking section. It's called Vegan Cooking for One. That is depressing. No meat, no fish, no dairy, no friends. Screw it, throw in the towel. In the back of the book, it's like, if you love Vegan Cooking for One, you'll love The Bell Jar by Sylvia Plath. I do a lot of traveling for comedy, and I was recently in Mississippi, and I discovered my favorite new road sign is in Mississippi. Huge billboard on the side of the road that reads, "Remember, statutory rape is a crime." Remember? Usually it's like speed limit, you know, falling rock zone, but apparently in Mississippi, they need some reminders of other behavior. You guys just see that dirty old man driving down the road, you know, and he sees the billboard, and he's like, oh, hell no. Morning after pill, okay? I feel like it hasn't been passed in most states for over-the-counter distribution. This is the new hot topic. Because the pill is called Plan B. I think it's too nonchalant, too carefree for a lot of people. Like, clearly Plan A didn't work. Although it's better than calling the pill Whoops. That's a problem. To really appease the more conservative nature of our country, right? By renaming the pill, I am a sinner and a whore. Right? I mean, it's a nice amount of regret and religion and humiliation rolled into one. That's all I'm saying. And that would make me want to work at CBS just for those moments. When the couple comes in and they're like, I'm going to need a package of I am a sinner and a whore. I'm sorry. Oh. center in a whore that's $24.99. Seems like a steal, huh? Freezing about clothing and a college education. Anyway, if that doesn't work out, we got diapers on sale in aisle two. So either way, you win. Got you covered. Do you ever go to, like, kind of a fancy shishi restaurant, and you go to use the bathroom, and they remove the men's and women's signs off the bathroom doors, and they put up crazy caricatures, so no freaking clue what door to go into. It's always such an embarrassing moment. I went to a seafood restaurant. I go to use the bathroom, and there's a picture of an anchor and a buoy. I'm like, where am I going?
Hey everyone, you're listening to Transformation Talk Radio. Don't touch that dial. We'll be beginning a brand new show at the top of the hour with one of our amazing hosts, Transformation Talk Radio. Talk radio to change the world.